It's Sunday, November 6, 2016. It's 5:24 p.m. and I'm returning home on the little over two-hour drive from the high desert down to the low desert. Did about a 7-hour hike today. 6 hours was walking. About an hour, I would say, was lying down, resting. A couple of rests I took, and then I talked to a couple, one group of hunters, and then one lone hunter. Today was the last day of the deer season, and this guy had a 30-odd six, and I don't know my guns, but I'll tell you, I had a pretty strong, you know, it was loud, and apparently pretty powerful. Doing a few target practicing on some boulders at about 200 yards. He was just bored. You know, there were hardly any deer. It was slim pickings. He mentioned some pig hunting that was, you know, with pigs up to 400 pounds in the Paso Robles area, closer to the ocean and north of here. Where you've got vineyards, you know, grape fields, and I guess pistachio orchards, and the pigs are, you know, they make a mess of it, and so it's private land, but you can get permission from landowners to do some hunting on the land, and but you still, I think, need a some kind of a permit. There's a name for it, like a catch or a bag permit for, you know, one or two animals, something like that. You get fined if you're apprehended with a you know, a kill, and you haven't gotten a permit for it. I want to do one more take on Donald Trump. I did one earlier today, and I'm going to think about Trump's policies. You know, why do I support Trump? You know, it's mainly like the Michael Moore article said, in terms of this being a fuck you to the establishment, and it is a fuck you to the establishment. You know, the establishment is, you know, putting GMOs out in the wild and spreading EMF everywhere and raining, you know, having us, you know, spraying us with heavy metal nanoparticulates and lying to us, and obviously biased. You can see so many problems with the, quote, establishment. And we're at war all the time. You know, military spending is our number one spending. And it's our number one export is arms, I believe. And it's got to stop. I don't know what, you know, to do except say, fuck all that. Pardon my language, but let's do something different. And Donald Trump represents that. And he actually, you know, I've written a few short posts here and there. You know, if he even achieves 2 out of the 10 things that I hope he achieves, and that's tremendous, because we have been losing ground on almost every on every issue that matters to me over the last decade or 2 decades. You know, civil freedom, you know, civil liberties, local control of education, medical freedom. I mean, all these things are just, we're losing them. And so, you know, what is it about, you know, what is it that Trump has said? And I am not a policy expert here, but I do know that he wants to find a winning non-war solution with Russia, which is huge, because elites are actually courting nuclear war. They would like think there's a number of them that would like to have it. A lot of these elites that are pulling the strings, they've got their armored redoubts in New Zealand and southern Chile, and you know, they're ready for the northern hemisphere to go up in flames. And there's a psychopathology about them, sociopathology, that it's like the Michael O'Grady I watched last night, the bulk of Deliver Us from Evil, which is about pedophile Catholic priests, one in particular that is featured in this documentary, and you know, the 50 some odd sexual victims of his predation over the course of 20 or more years of him being in the clergy and just being passed around in Central California here. But there's one, you know, there's an interview that takes place, maybe the latter quarter of the movie, where the guy asks them, the interviewer, the filmographer, the documentarian asks him, you know, Father O'Grady, although I guess he had been stripped of all that, did prison time, but in order to, you know, he was asked to lie and not to divulge anything regarding the higher up, the chain of command that he would be taken care of. He's got a fat retirement to look forward to if he just shuts up, because the bishop above him was promoted to cardinal and he had full knowledge of all this and did nothing. And so there was, anyway, so the victims of this Michael O'Grady, you know, they see the priest as being a lost cause, so they're going after the chain of command that should have known, that did know, and should have done something, but did not. And, you know, the culture of secrecy and denial and whatever. But what he asks is, did he feel remorse, or did he feel any regret or pain? Any. One sec. You know, regarding his past actions. And because there was a disconnect, it was obvious that the guy didn't have empathy, that this one precious girl, you know, the daughter of, I guess it was like a Japanese man and an Irish, you know, woman, and you know, he was in the military and she was from Ireland, and he converted to Catholicism or something, and you know, this Pastor O'Grady spent a lot of time at their house. They had a beautiful girl. I think they had one child. And I love the, you know, having lived in the islands as long as I did, you know, these Caucasian Filipino, Caucasian Japanese, these mixed, they call them chop suey in the islands, you know, this mixture of blood. And it results in just some exotic, beautiful beings. And, you know, far more beautiful than just, you know, staying within your, you know, your tribe. And, I guess the word, I forget the word he used, disconnect. Yeah, I forget the language, but he was accused, the pastor was accused, the former priest, the defrocked pedophile, was accused of being, I think it was dissociative, He just dissociates. You know, he, I guess, spent his time scheming to get into these families' lives and even slept with some of the mothers in order to have access with the children. And going back to that Irish Japanese girl, God, what a pretty girl. He was having sex with her from ages 5, I believe is what the movie indicated, to 12. And that's just one of like 50. And then another kid, a boy, he sodomized. I don't know how often, but the lack of empathy. And sociopaths are known for their dissociation, their, again, lack of empathy. They don't feel for their victims. And clearly our leadership doesn't feel for us. And so getting back to Trump, he has a heart. He wants, in my opinion, from what I've seen, he wants what's best for America. And he's a nationalist, not a globalist. I've already talked about how I believe that nationalism is the way to go. In terms of maintaining different values and, you know, not gutting one country to benefit another. But there's a number of international trade treaties that are on the books or being planned as I speak that he wants to reverse or stop. And again, these as I said in the earlier comments today, the purpose of these treaties is to enshrine corporations above, place them above nation states in terms of like legal authority. And, you know, where the U.S. can be sued for loss of profits if we decide to ban a certain hazardous product. You know, hey, you got to take this. You got to take this genetically modified chicken. You have to take this irradiated apple. You have to take this tuna that's been caught in such a way as to kill massive amounts of dolphins and turtles. Because it's more, you know, it's more expensive to produce these things the safer way. And we don't want to do that. And we're not going to let you. I guess we're not going to let you demonstrate your values. We're not going to let you have values in the marketplace. The marketplace will then be devoid of morality. And I think that's evil. And these trade organizations that are going to be like above the states, like the World Trade Organization, the people who make decisions are not elected. They're basically put there by corporate interests that don't have nations' interests at heart. So I believe Trump would propose tariffs and other forms of what they call protectionistic or protectionism that our country utilized in the 1800s. Or I guess it's the 1900s, you know, the 1850s, 1880s, whatever those years were, I think 1900s. 1800s or the 19th century. In an effort then to, as he's doing that, has these tariffs in place, would be trying to support the development of manufacturing again here in the U.S. Because right now, I think the bulk of our manufacturing is, you know, that we depend on is in China and other countries that have lousy civil liberties policies, laws, you know, and we really shouldn't be giving them all of our business. They're not worthy of it. It's, you know, to think that we could be, you know, supporting slave labor in China and have it not come back to haunt us is just, you know, we have like $800 billion, you know, trade imbalance or something each year. That would stop. You know, that is, we're importing about $800 billion worth. Maybe it's 600, but it fluctuates. It's growing, though. You know, more than, we're taking in more than we're producing, and that just never works out. That is not sustainable. So that's one. He's gonna try to have trade that benefits the U.S. citizen much more, and in the process, try to develop our business, I mean our productive capacity that we've lost on purpose, actually. You know, the plan was to send it all to China and these other countries, and to have Americans just make up the difference with increased indebtedness, and that's what's happened over the last 40 years. People have, wages have been stagnant or going down, and people have kept up their cost of living, I mean, kept up their the lost economic opportunity has been made up by increased personal debt, and I think artificially high home prices, where, you know, homes are way overvalued, and that's, you know, inconsistent with our incomes, that's for sure. And that has to do with, you know, the way the money policy has worked, and it's certainly not benefited the average person, for whom it's, you know, largely hopeless right now. Okay, other app matters. Medicine. Obamacare. That's this bizarre kind of insurance, health insurance deal that the Obama administration has set up, where we have, you know, made it illegal to purchase generic drugs from Canada. We have made it illegal for insurance companies to compete across state lines. We have, kept, you know, when Obamacare was approved, the major insurance carriers or providers, their stocks went up like 30%, because we're keeping the middleman that's making their 10 or 20% cut. That entity across the board is retained. And I have so little faith in government right now. You know, what Trump wants to just destroy, you know, scratch it, and I think he should. According to Alex Jones, the radio host, with Obamacare and some of these other plans, there's been a trying to cover everyone. There's been a drop, a precipitous drop in the provision of what you call, you know, in legal terms, it's a pro bono, but free medical care, charity care, because a portion of hospital doctor services, you know, they get what they can from most people, and then those people that they feel they need to really help them, even though that person can't afford it, they provide it for free. And that isn't happening now, that kind of charitable activity, for whatever reason. And, you know, so that is this, there was a lot more of it in the past, and this notion that the poor never got health care is actually not true. A lot of them did, through this provision of, I guess you call it charity care. But Trump wants to get rid of Obamacare and, you know, try something different, and I think that's great. And I kind of just want to get government out of the way. I don't want the government involved in healthcare, because special interests are too powerful right now. Corporate interests use the force of government to pad their, to line their pockets with money. And so, you know, you've got this, we call it force multiplier potential in government. You know, this large entity that, you know, through sheer scale can do some things well or better than, you know, smaller scale, but on something as like healthcare, I really think the government has no place in it. Especially, you know, if you study the you know, how ferociously natural approaches, natural remedies, alternative health care, chiropractic, naturopathic, you know, how we're, you know, those are just totally discriminated against, punished, violated, you know. And you hear all these stories of very courageous doctors and naturopathic physicians who have treatments for cancer, and they are raided by the federal government. They are shut down when the number of people that die each year using the proper you know, pharmaceutical drug and dosage, you know, it's like hundreds of thousands of people. And then the number of people that make errors, I mean, it just, it's like a half a million people a year are dying from mistakes and bad medical care in the current system. And hardly anyone dies from these more healthful, non-harmful approaches. But they're a threat, and so I just, and the government is there to, you know, weaken standards and to ensure profits for the corporations, the pharmaceuticals, the agribusiness interests. So at this point, I just want to reduce the size of government till, you know, Washington D.C. is like one tenth of the size it is right now. Because if you study this, you'll know that the three wealthiest counties in the United States are all, you know, surrounding Washington D.C. All the money is flowing to Washington D.C. And Washington D.C., the federal government is running like a $1.6 trillion deficit each year, and it's growing each year. And that does not end well. That ends in war, hyperinflation and or war, where they can blame the reset, the loss of purchasing power on someone other than themselves, because all this, you know, the bankers knew this was coming, and they did nothing, and they just benefited from it until the very last second, and then shifted attention to Russia or whoever they want to blame, and hit the self-destruct button. Yeah, as I speak, the national debt's $20 trillion, which is enormous. we need to reduce the size of the federal government, period. And I think Trump's going to do that. He mentioned something like a freeze on federal employees, apart from maybe military and defense and emergency workers. You know, that's a step in the right direction. His vice president, the vice presidential nominee or candidate, a guy named Mike Pence from Indiana, a governor. But he said in his speech that he was very proud of the fact that there were fewer state workers, I think in Indiana, when he left office than there were when he started. And I think that's a great vision. Especially now, for someone like me who lacks trust in, because all these institutions have been co-opted by elite interests that are intent on, they're demonic. They're intent on destroying the species. They really are. And it just, the only way to get them out of my hair is to stop paying taxes to them and fire them. You know, and then let's see what emerges. You know, let's be a little more simple in our approach to governance. All right, so he's going to scrap Obamacare. You know, and he questions efficacy of vaccinations. We need to look at that. He's the only candidate that said that. And there's tremendous amounts of evidence that is suppressed regarding correlation between vaccinations and autism and a whole host of other disabilities and health conditions, adverse health conditions. So God bless him for that. What a fresh voice. He says he intends to make some changes to the tax code, that he's going to eliminate some deductions that the billionaire class has taken advantage of. And I think he's the guy to do it, because he and other billionaires have been taking advantage of these things, and he believes it's unfair. I mean, he's at least talking it. And I do think that it could be a very good thing. But if anyone's going to... I know that I've heard some discussions of his other tax or fiscal policies, and some things don't seem to add up, but I believe that he will make the right, some decisions that are better than the ones that we've made so far. I mean, under Obama, government's grown, deficits have grown. It's insane. I mean, I don't think it can get much worse, and Trump wants to do something about it. Other policies. I think there's some conservative principles that he is going to advocate for. You know, I am not a supporter of public education anymore. I'm not. It's because of my lack of faith in the governance structure. And the institution of education has been completely co-opted to be a progressive / communist mind control mechanism. It just has. Common Core, the lack of real creativity, the obedience training. I'm in the middle of it all. The excessive focus on testing, you know, establishing all these databases on to track kids. You know, let local jurisdictions figure out how they want to educate their children. I'm definitely not for credentialing. I think credentialing is just a horrific... a medical degree is to medicine as the credential is to teaching. You know, it destroys your healing, the healing potential of the profession. And I think the teaching credential destroys your it's not rocket science how to have an engaging classroom. You know, you need to be someone who actually enjoys people, enjoys learning, and it will come, you know. And basically you want to create a worthwhile, rewarding environment for kids. And you don't need a bunch of indoctrination for that. And the type of curriculum we have is, I think, destructive to students' self-esteem and their native, creative impulse. And remand it to the local jurisdictions, or at least to the states, to figure out what they want to do. We don't need the federal government dictating, you know, because that's where Common Core is coming from. It's coming from the Bill Gates, you know, billionaire foundation, and you know, these transhumanist combines, you know, and now they want to have all the kids with mobile Wi-Fi devices, you know, and that's how they're going to develop their potential. And I couldn't disagree with them more. I mean, it's been so crazy that they've taken away art and PE and recess in a lot of schools so that they could focus more on academics. You know, whatever happened to, I mean, did they have credentialing in Greece 2,000 years ago, you know, when they had the Olympics, you know, where you're supposed to be a scholar and an athlete and a warrior. I mean, all three things, you know, that was what made up the Greek ideal, I believe, something like that. And we have lost sight of all of our classical roots. And again, it's to reshape humanity to become a cog in this New World Order, transhumanist, robotic, post-nation state world that's run by bankers and cyber experts, you know. The technocratic elite is what they call it. So as a conservative, he would push for, you know, less of a centralizing impulse in education and allow for, I think, you know, divergent methods of instruction. And again, the credential, the teaching credential is should be abolished. At least in its current state. No confidence for me in it. What else might Trump do? I mean, that's all. That's for starters. And I think, you know, he would be against, you know, as much as we can. You know, we have some gigantic subsidies for the genetically modified food producers. And he's going to look at, I think he would look at all that. He's a successful business person, and he's going to try to have you know, he didn't make his money from living off of, I think, government welfare. You know, so I think he's going to, those corporations that live off of, you know, these no-bid contracts or these heavily subsidized engagements, I think he's going to take a hard look at that. And that's all I'm going to say right now, you know, on it. But I, if you could just avoid World War III, according to Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein, a vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for World War III. And let's just not destroy the planet right now. Please. Over and out.